Moses 1 to 5. Okay, that's Genesis to Leviticus. They went to school. They studied that. They were experts on that. They also believed in oral law, meaning the interpretation of that scripture. So there's a lot of nuances that they believed in. So they would interpret that, and they believed in that. And that's that whole 600 plus laws. Okay. They believed that you could be holy without going to the temple. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, they believed in that. And they also believed in, yeah, but I believe the scripture says this. Does it sound familiar? Yes, that person. 100%. You that guy? Who's that? Kelvin? Is that you? You're that guy. they believe in the afterlife, and they rejected the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin. They rejected them. They didn't really want those people there. The Sadducees were priests. They're coming from a guy called Zadok. Zadok was like way back in the Old Testament, and he was a priest, like a high priest in the temple. And from Zadok, Sadducees, can you hear that they started existing? They believed that you required the temple rituals to be holy. So you got to come into church, and you got to light the little candle, and you got to walk on the red carpet and not the white carpet. You got to take your incense. You got to go. I'm mocking now. I'm being naughty. I am. But they believed you couldn't be holy unless you went through the rituals of the temple. Remember the rituals of the temple? You go to the brass basin, you go to the offering, you go and do this, you go and do that. So you couldn't be holy without that. Does that sound familiar? Can you see it? It hasn't disappeared. You've got these two schools of people, Pharisees, Sadducees. They still exist. And they believed in the Torah alone. So they didn't believe in, I can interpret the word. So there's a fine balance between the Pharisees that says, I can have an interpretation. For me, that scripture means, okay, it's for me. I got this scripture and it means that for me. And they say, no, 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 you got to be legalistic about it. This is what it means. There's a fine balance between the two. And they didn't believe in that. They supported the Jewish leaders of the day, this and that, and they didn't believe in the afterlife. So when you die, you become grass. You met people like that before, eh? They still live amongst us. They are not alien. They are amongst us. And the force is strong with them, of the Sadducees. So Jesus knows these people. He knows their theology. This section in the Bible is called the Assault of the Sadducees. It's three sections that follow. We're going to deal with one. It's called the Assault of the Sadducees. They come and assault Jesus. They come against him. They're trying to entrap him. They're trying to get him to just bite. But he knows them. So in verse 23 of Matthew 22, the same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him. So you know what blows my mind? The way we've been in Matthew, 18 months now, maybe 2 years, who knows? But on Resurrection Sunday, we get to a piece of text where Jesus talks about the resurrection. No man can coordinate that, you know. And if you know me, I'm not that fine a detailed planner. You know, it's like, so we're talking about resurrection on Resurrection Sunday. Now, let's just deal with this quickly. Easter, as we celebrate it, has got nothing to do with Jesus. Absolutely nothing. It was an incorporation of some pagan thing. That's why it gets a shift. If you see that Easter is on this Sunday, and then Easter is in end of April, then Easter is in the middle of March. Why? There's a whole cycle that I'll send it on the church's group, how they calculate it and whatever. So calendar-wise, Easter has got nothing to do with Jesus. The early church incorporated that, okay? And they were clever enough or daft enough to incorporate some bunny and some eggs, which is totally got nothing to do with Jesus. That's all about the fertility thing. All right, so we don't need bunnies and eggs to be, you know, we just got the blessing to be fertile. All right, so go and be fertile, multiply. Okay. So, and also Jesus never died on the Friday. There was a high Sabbath, which was on the Thursday. Jesus died on the Thursday. He was in the grave on the Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and he rose on the Sunday, the third day. Okay, so you can go watch and Google it and find all the information about that, how people explain it very, very well, far better than I can. Okay, just time-wise, and they do little loops and everything. So when we say we're talking about Resurrection Sunday, this is the day we celebrate it calendar-wise. Okay, but it's not the day that Jesus rose on this. We celebrate his resurrection. Does that make sense? Okay, we don't celebrate bunnies. We don't celebrate Easter eggs. We use it as bait. Bring your kinders kerk toe. We use it as bait. Okay. So maybe somebody's here for the first time today, or they brought their kids to church. You're the guy that bit. You took a bite of that. We'll have some. Wait, we don't. The kids will have Easter eggs. We won't. Okay, so they asked him, who say there's no resurrection. They came to him and they asked him. So they know there's no resurrection. This is what they believe. They believe there's no resurrection. Then they ask him the following question. They don't ask him a straight question. They come with a dry. Né? Who likes it when people come like that at you? Né? And also, does it take a rocket science to see when people are coming like that? No, you don't. You only need a little bit of discernment and you can see, there we go. Don't you want to go to the Easter egg hunt? Okay. You're welcome. The boss is the beta. It's calling your name.
I've got an Easter egg for you.
All right. So, saying to him, teacher. Now, once again, they never really trusted him. They never believed him. They never called him teacher. Only when they want to entrap him. Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up an offspring for his brother. Aren't you glad that's not the practice anymore? Okay? Some guys are like, yes, I wish my put would die. I can get his missus. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. So, all the brothers had now married this woman. No one can get her pregnant. She's barren. Okay? Why they did that in those days is not, it's actually a very good thing. They believed in looking after the elderly. So, the children would look after their parents. That's what was behind it. Raise up a child, so when this lady is old, her husband is dead, the child, hopefully a man, would be able to provide for his mother. That's why they did it. That's why it was the context of it. Okay. They didn't have retirement villages and pension plans and all of that. They didn't have that type of thing. So that's why they did that. So now they ask him, therefore in the resurrection. But remember, they don't believe in the resurrection. Can you see how scallum they are? They're asking this big story about this woman and resurrection, but we don't believe in the resurrection. But therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For all seven knew her. And Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Okay, so he's coming and he's going to answer their question, not in the simplest form. He's going to put them, Mike Tyson, left hook. Okay? I like it when Jesus does that. He answers us on a plane that we never seen coming. He's far more intelligent than we can ever imagine. And you can be a genius with an IQ of 200, all right? You cannot outsmart Jesus. Not even a whole group of people could outsmart him. I like that about you. I like that about my Lord, that he is far more intelligent. He knows far better than I do. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. That's what it boils down to. And Jesus says to them, you are mistaken. You know not the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. So I want you to understand the first thing here. Jesus telling them there is a resurrection. Okay? And there are angels. Okay? He doesn't say you become an angel. You like an angel. You see, angels cannot multiply. Demons cannot multiply. They are fallen angels. Okay? All scripture says they are masculine, but they have no sexuality. Okay? All scripture talks about. Every angel's name is a masculine name. Michael, Gabriel, the ones that are given to us. Lucifer, the fallen angel. The Holy Spirit is also described as a he. Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Male, when he comes. Not when it is a clown in a drain. All right? That's it. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will empower you. So he's saying the amount of angels that exist is already completely created. It's completed. There's no extra angels. There's no extra demons. They're not going to multiply. That's how it is. The only ones that could multiply was man. Therefore, in Genesis, he says, let us make man in our image, male and female, man. And he blessed them and he told them to multiply. Okay. Jesus is answering this question so cleverly. He's saying, one of the primary reasons for sexuality is procreation. Okay? So whenever a person on the earth cuts that procreation out because of lifestyle or how I identify, they go directly against the blessing of God. Because the blessing of God is, God blessed them, and then he said, multiply. This dot, 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 multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. So now, if I've got an alternative lifestyle, and I cannot multiply, I hate humanity. I don't love people. I hate people. Why? Because I want people to die out. That's the agenda of the enemy. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I can come across very loving, but I've got an alternative lifestyle. I'm actually saying I hate people and I want humanity to die out. You need to be tolerant of me because I identify as a cat. All right? What am I saying? I'm hating people. An education system that supports that says we hate people. It's the agenda of the enemy. God's one of the primary reasons for sexuality is to procreate. That's what you do on the earth. If then it is only for my pleasure, who am I worshiping? I'm worshiping the creation and not the creator. Does that make sense? If my sexuality, and I go into an alternative lifestyle, then it becomes only for my pleasure. There's no chance of procreation. I am worshiping myself. All right, so we've got the procreation and the pleasure, which is also part, and the unity is also part of sexuality. Does it make sense? You guys are following me. Without being derogative, without calling out the sin, without stepping on somebody's toes, if I have, you must really just put them under your chairs right now. Because I'm being as sensitive as I can. I am. Really, being careful. Do you agree, Rustin? Outside of my character. I want to just drop on your toes, but I'm not doing. All right. So, Jesus answering first is, listen, now, in Revelation, just put up that Revelation scripture. John the Revelator falls at the feet of an angel. And he and I fell at the feet to worship him, the angel. And he said unto me, see that you don't do this. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So what is he saying? Don't worship creation. Don't worship me. I'm created. I'm an angel. I'm a serving spirit. I need to serve you. I'm a fellow servant of the Most High. If you are in heaven, you are a fellow servant of Jesus. Those people that have taken the play, all those people that was part of the play, any form that were part of the play, put up your hands, please. Donkey, 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 donkey. They are fellow servants. If you volunteer in church anywhere, you're a fellow servant. If you're leading to people to Jesus, you're a fellow servant. If you are praying for people, okay, you're laying your hands on, you're a fellow servant. We are serving the King of Kings together. All right. This is what the angel says. And then he says to him, worship God. Worship the Creator. Don't worship me. Don't fall at my feet. Don't bow to me. Worship God. Don't worship yourself, okay? For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, that part there is a whole sermon on its own, okay? I'm not going to go down there, all right? Unless you want to leave at 2 o'clock. Anyway, you will gaan eat, ne? So, this is in the afterlife. It's in the spiritual realm. Afterlife talks about the spiritual realm. Resurrection talks about spirit. Resurrection is now, and resurrection is then too. I'll show you resurrection now, and I'll show you resurrection then. Resurrection then is the day of judgment. That's the day of judgment. Every single person that has died in the last 6,000 years will be resurrected. Every single person. Alidoyas, they will stand up. Everybody. And everyone will stand in front of Jesus' throne to be judged. Okay? And at that day, I want you to get this picture. We are 9 billion people, almost 9 billion people on the earth. Let's say in all of history, there was another 9 billion people. There were like 20 billion people all in all by that time comes. Every single one of those knees will bow, whether they want to or not. I like that. So this staunch anti-Christian dude, take a knee, son. You're going to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some of them will do it growlingly. Some of them will be screaming in anger. That's that day of resurrection. Okay. Well, I'll show you resurrection now as well. Let's read through our passage. Is this interesting enough to keep your attention? Fantastic. Donkey Jesus. Now, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God saying? Now, this is Jesus answering their question. He first addressed sexuality. He addressed marriage. All of that's encompassed in that one verse. He's just, boom, downloading it because he's answering on a much, much higher level than they thought he's going to answer. And he just gets them right. And then he says, I want to show you something because they were experts reading the Torah. So they read the Bible, their Bible at that time, which is part of our Bible, over and over and over and over. They studied it. They went to university. So that's why they are priests. He says to them, have you not read this? How is it? He's actually tongue-in-cheek a bit. No? He's like, but concerning the resurrection, have you not read what was spoken to you by God saying, I am God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is the God of the, not of the dead, but of the living. He said, if he had said, I was the God of Abraham. See, but the Bible is so specifically written to answer these questions. So specific. He didn't say, I was the God. He says, I am the God of Abraham. Meaning, Abraham is alive. I am the God of Isaac. Meaning, Isaac is alive. And Jacob is alive. But they died. Yes, they died. But this is what we need to understand. This is the resurrection now. This is the resurrection that we can live in. It's Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about that. All of us are going to die. Hello? We're going to kick the bucket. Am I right? Yeah? That's why corpses' toes go blue. I kick the bucket. That's a joke. Please laugh. Was my borkie. Lach net, Leanne. Please, just see it. Okay? And some of us are closer to than others to kicking the bucket. Am I right? We don't know who's the closest. We don't know what when we're going to kick. Okay? All of us are going to die. But when we get there, there's an eternity awaiting. There's an eternity of being dead and tortured and separated from God. And there's an eternity being resurrected into bliss. Now, we cannot have an idea how awesome heaven is going to be. We've got no idea. The best day on earth, times a million, we'll never get to the splendor and the awesome and the glory and the majesty of being in the full presence of God. And we'll never get bored. The Bible says it like this. There will be no more crying. There will be no more heartache, no more sickness, no more pain. And He Himself will wipe away our tears. He Himself will come say, I know then that hurt you, son, and wipe away your tears. There is such an awesome, awesome place waiting for us. Okay? And then the opposite is true. The opposite is not a meek and mild hell. It is separation from God. It is designed for torture, not for humans, but for those who rebelled against God in heaven. But God is a faithful God, and He is an honorable God, and He honors your free will. If you choose not to know Him, yeah, then He honors that by saying, fine, you don't have to know me in eternity either. You choose to live your life separate from me now, that's your choice. Then I will honor your choice for eternity. There you go. No. Resurrection Sunday. You see, it's we can kumbaya, we can do all the nice things on Resurrection Sunday. Victory, but Sunday is coming. But we need to put it in perspective so we can understand where we are at, what is important right now for us. Okay. So, do you not know that that is God of the living? So obviously, there's a place where I can become alive now. Because Abraham had to do something to have this life. Let's go to John. Just put it in John for me. John 11, 25. And Jesus said to her, I am the, let's read it together. Resurrection. Now. Not then. Now. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he was dead, he shall be alive or live. You see, when you and I believe in Jesus, the Zoe, the God kind of resurrection life comes into us. We become, He's the firstborn, and we become those that born after Him into the resurrection. He died on a cross. He rose again. He became the firstborn of God. Until that moment, He was the only begotten Son of God. But when He was resurrected, He became the firstborn of God. And then He says, as many as believe in me, they become children of God. So we are also then born of God. Okay. So that life, that Zoe kind of, when you get baptized, it says, what does it mean? We're going to a grave. We get buried with Christ. We get put in the grave with Christ. It's a water grave left there. Do it. Finished. Dead for the English-speaking people. And then we get resurrected into Him, into the resurrection life. Okay? When you are alive on the inside, you will speak life. When you are dead on the inside, you'll speak death. So it's easy to determine. Are you alive? What does your mouth do? Is your mouth cutting people down to size? Is your mouth belittling people, skinning people to death, saying bad things? Oh, calamity, 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 calamity. Guess what? You see, it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus. It's very easy to say that. It's easy to say, I believe the narrative, the story. We've been going to church for a lifetime, you know? Or we've been staying away from church for a lifetime. Who's been in that category? I'm not sure, not going to church, you know? Trying to run away from God, okay? But if I believe in them, then I have life. It's Zoe kind of, the God kind of life that runs through me. And I shall live. And when I live, I shall speak life. See, the dead on the inside try and entrap Jesus. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew this Bible. They knew this Bible. Or their Bible. It's that part there. No, more or less there. They knew that part off by heart, better than you and I can ever, because they studied it. You could only go to the next phase of schooling if you were a top student. So you didn't go to high school if you didn't perform in primary school. Okay, if you were just average in primary school, there you go, family business for you. Gaan vang vis. All right, you're going to go fishing. Zulu would have loved that. You know? Some other guys that also love that. Just go to, I'm going to fail. I love fishing. But the guys that did well, they would go to high school. The guys that passed high school did very well in high school, the top. Okay, they would go to university. They didn't call it university, but they'll go to the Sadducee school, the Pharisee school. They became the disciples of the other guys, family business for you. There you go. Carpentry, that's your forte. There you go. You're not an academic. So they knew this. See, knowing the Bible doesn't mean you know the author. Are you following what I'm saying? Knowing the Bible doesn't mean you know the author. Some of you know me. Well, at least you know about me. Maar jy moet eers bietjie saam met my gaan fietsry. Nee. To get to know who I am. You first go camping with me a little bit. To get to know who I am genuinely. To see all my frustration and all my determination and all my softness and all my fun side. You first need to do, then you get to know me. The same with Jesus. You can know all about the Bible and never know Jesus. Never know him. Never experience him. Never, because you don't know him, but you know about him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are exactly those people. They knew the Bible. The theologians. You can come to church Sunday for Sunday and never know Jesus. You can call it prayer. Pray often and never know Jesus. These people knew it, and it's like, this is what the Lord has told us. There's no resurrection. The Lord told us. There's no resurrection. You need the temple. Well, the temple was destroyed 70 AD. All right. No more temple. What happened to them? They disappeared off the face of this. No more Sadducees. You can do that. So when we sit here on Resurrection Sunday, it's confrontational. It's not a comfortable kumbaya message, am I right? It's a confrontational because this is the reality of it. You know that when Jesus got up and those people, they said, tell the soldiers that somebody stole his body. They covered it up because it was more comfortable to deal with that than with a resurrected temple. Remember Jesus said, I will destroy this temple and build it up in 3 days. It made them mad. They went, nonus. Because they believe you need to have the temple to be holy. No, you need Jesus. Somebody came to me during the play. He said, is something wrong with your prayer at the altar call? I said, yes, what's that? He says, you didn't make them confess their sin. And I thought to myself, I could now engage this person, but I chose not to. Because confession of sin doesn't save you. You can confess your sin all day long. It's not going to save you. The confession of Jesus Christ saves you. That Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. The question is, do you believe that? Do you truly believe that? You see, it's easy to say, yes, I believe it. But think about it. I want to unpack this for you. Here's a 16-year-old girl, pregnant by the Holy Spirit, immaculate conception. Somebody comes to you, now I'm pregnant. No, 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 no. It must have been the Holy Spirit. Your daughter comes to change you that. What are you going to say? What you've been smoking. Can I have some of yours? It's like baie goed. Apparently you got some staunch Durban poison, Egyptian gold somewhere lying around. This 16-year-old girl comes to her parents and says, no, 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 no. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Number two, Jesus gets born of a virgin. It goes hand in hand. Third, he lived for 33 and a half years on the earth and never, gentlemen, never looked at with lust to at a woman. Do you believe that? Are you following what I'm saying? Come on, gents. Never looked at a woman with any form of lust. For all that time, while he's hanging on the cross, still that moment, not once did he disrespect his mother. Now, I don't know how many of you can say, yes, tick that box. I can't. Do you believe that? Never sinned once. He was holy, spotless for 33 years on the earth. Then, when he died, his blood paid the price for all of mankind's sin. Let's call it 20 billion people from the beginning of creation until now, a little bit forward, whatever. 20 billion people sinning daily. The weight of that sin. Can you imagine that? The weight of the sin. Every time you swear, every time you lust, every time you wish somebody would just drive over that person. I don't know if you get thoughts like that. I do. You know, I wish somebody can hit that oak with a truck. Gonk. You know? Every time. All of that just put on. For 6,000 years. The weight of that sin. And Jesus' blood outweighs it. Poof. Outweighs it. Boom. Pays the price for that. Covers that. And then, rising from the dead, a dead man becoming alive. All logic says that is irrational thinking. Am I right? How many people have seen a dead person rise? Just put up your hand if you've ever seen a dead person. Okay, how many people have prayed for a dead person to get up? I have. I've prayed for dead people to get up. I'm still working on that muscle. It hasn't happened yet for me. But there are people today that's doing it. They're raising people from the dead because that's what the word says. Right? That Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits on his throne now. Sends his Holy Spirit, not some figment of your imagination, the person of the Holy Spirit to, number one, drive away loneliness. He says, I will not leave you orphans. So the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of being outside looking in, displaced. The feeling of, I don't belong, displaced. That you belong. Driving out all forms of fear because he says, I pour out my love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And his perfect love casts out fear. He says, do you believe in Jesus? It's easy to say, yes, I do. But when it comes to nuts and bolts, do I truly believe in my heart of hearts in the resurrected Jesus. Now, I can't force you. I can't make you. I can't speak elegant words enough. I can't persuade you. I don't have it. No person has that. No person has that. No person has got that gifting. I want you to understand this. And this is to edify you. I want to edify you. I want you to understand the Word of God, that no flesh is anointed. No flesh is anointed. So I don't, if you might look at me or you might look at the next person. I don't look at me. I look at the other guys. And it's like, that guy's anointed. That guy's anointed. You know, that guy's such a, you know, prophetic. No flesh is anointed. Because then God will be a respecter of man. Well, I like you. Local is lekker better. So I'm going to anoint you, and I'll put some anointing there, and I'll put some anointing there. But the rest of you, so sorry, so sad, you're dead. No, no, that's not how God works. Billy Graham writes this. He says, no flesh is anointed. The Word is anointed. You get the Word inside of you, the anointing comes on you. Okay? You prioritize Jesus. You get to know Him. You get to know what He says. You start living that. The anointing comes on you. That's inclusive. Anybody can do that. If you're willing to put in the carpet time, if you're willing to put time out and prioritize Jesus, if you're willing to worship Him and not myself, the anointing comes on you. So do I truly believe in Jesus? Yeah, but I can't pray 15 minutes a day. I can't find time in my day to say, I want to know what He says. He's the resurrected one. He's the King of Kings. Do I truly believe then? Or do I use this to chop people to size? I'll just run my mouth at you and say to you whatever I want to, because that's just the way I'm born. Does that make sense? Where Jesus says, I want you to have some self-control. I want you to have some self-control. They say, when you speak, I want you to speak to build people up. Build them up. Not find their faults. Are you doing this wrong? And I can point at you. You guys are comfortable with that, eh? It's like, if you never get can point me, you had groot guns. You're not supposed to point people when you preach. It's bad, bad, bad preaching when you point people. So I'll just do it like this. Point you like Amo. And do I still not have any self-control of what I say? I'll say to you whatever I want to, whenever I want. I swear, because that's just my nature, and I swear. And I'll break people down. But Ephesians 4:29 says, when you speak, build people up with your words. Build them up. Speak life over them. Don't point out their faults and their flaws the whole time. No, but I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. But my life is dead. There's no resurrection life coming from me. It's not calling people to a higher place. Not legalistic. Check your legal. Because then I become a Pharisee and a Sadducee. I say, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. I say, do you know Jesus? Do you spend enough time with Him that anointing comes on you? That's the resurrection now. That's the resurrection life you and I can live now. Let's go to the next one of that verse 26. I think we've got it on, eh? Skull? We don't have it on. Okay. Yet He will live. Jesus then obviously, and when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at His teaching. But the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, and then they gathered together. You see, Jesus' answer does the same with us today. It silences us. It silences us. It silences all these little arguments that we have, and we're looking at each other and like, this is a confrontational word. It's not a comfortable word. My wife has got a very, very good saying. She says, Wilco, if you see the hordes of people running in a direction, you need to know it's not from the Lord. Because wide is the road, and many will follow that road. But when you see a few people going in the other direction, okay, you can almost for certain say the Lord is there. Why? Because narrow is the road and few are they that find it. A life that is completely different. A life that is not about my prosperity, not about my comfort. Rod, we forgot again. But about worshiping Him. Worshiping Him. Not saying, let's go with the big bells and whistles, smoke machine and fancy lights. I'd love to have that. But we must make sure when we worship, it's in the right direction. We worship the resurrected Jesus. And our lives respond to that. Because that's the right response. What did Jesus do for me? He saved me. He died for me. He came into my life. He's the initiator of this relationship. I'm not the big goody two-shoe. I'm as bad as the next guy. But He, Jesus, comes in and He changes our lives. And we respond by living in a resurrected life. Now, many of you have been here many Sundays. And we always pray that prayer. You know, that prayer can't save you. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It is so important that we aim in the right place, that we lead in the right direction to the cross. Not some theology of some church or some charismatic pastor or some awesome worship team. Those guys can worship. Get all emotional. It's just so much. I felt the presence of God. No, it's your emotion. Because you need to know that if you are saved, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And you don't need music. And you don't need some fancy-wancy thing to do it. You can just be in the presence of God. You have got the life of Christ. Yes, we need to come together because we need one another. That's scriptural. Jesus says that. But I can't save you. And some prayer can't save you. The resurrected Jesus is the one that saves. Not think that you are saved. Not hope that you are saved, but know that you know that you know. It's a time to look in the mirror. And it's something that some of you will probably be dumbfounded when I say this to you. But many a time I stand in my bathroom and I look into my mirror and I say, am I saved? Am I saved? I look in the mirror and it's like, I have to be honest with me. Because I'm not saved because I can do this on a Sunday. I'm not saved because I know a bit of the Bible. I'm saved, and it happens different for other people, but for me it happened like this. On the 5th of August, 1999, a 10:15, Jesus walked into my life. I didn't go look for Him. He came for me. That's biblical. You don't find Jesus. He finds you. He's not lost. You are. Are you following? I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He's not lost. We the ones that are lost. And I have to look in that mirror and I have to remember that night when Jesus found me, when He came in to me. Not by a prayer. He came. Now I'm going to ask you, we're going to play something softly. I want to ask you just to bow your heads where you are. We're not going to make you stand up. We're not going to make you pray. I'm not going to ask you anything like that. But what I'm going to ask you is there where you are. Before the music starts. So fast. Before the music starts. There where you are is to reflect. To say, do I really believe? And if I believe, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, come touch me. And if I don't you want there where you are? Because you don't need me, you need Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is here. He will come to you. He will touch you. We're going to play the music softly. And at any time you feel like leaving, you can go. We'll take up an offering at the door. At any time you want to come to the front and you want me to pray with you, you can come. If you want to lie on the carpet, I want you to forget, abandon yourself. Don't worship yourself now. Don't worship how you would feel, how you would look, but abandon yourself completely. We're going to dim the lights. And just you look in this mirror. Say, Jesus, I want to believe in you, or I believe in you. Whatever it is, come and save me. Come and affirm me. Come affirm your work in me. And whenever you feel like you can leave and go have coffee, whenever you feel like you can come to the front, you can place. Thank you, Skulk. Father, we just thank you for this moment. Bikkie harder, Skulk. Nog 'n bikkie. There we go. Thank you. Once again, I want you to take liberty and freedom. If you want to come to the front and want me to pray for you for anything, you're more than welcome. If you feel you want to go out, you're more than welcome to go out. That I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down. Thank you, Lord. In my soul, we thank you, Lord, that this is Resurrection Sunday. That I can't control. Your word says, if we believe in you, I want more, we will have life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you that you are touching people right now. Anytime you feel like come to the front for prayer, you're more than welcome. Anytime. I'll pray with you. Anytime you feel like you want to go out, just quietly, you are more than welcome to go out. Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There you are. There you are. Thank you. Thank you for touching him right now. Oh, yeah, there you are, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. That's it. That's it. That's it. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are touching him now. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. I'm going to keep on saying this, not because I want you to change. I want to give you freedom. I want you to just have total freedom to do. If you want to come to the front, I'll pray with you. If you want to go out, you're more than welcome to go out. If you want to sit there, you're more than welcome. Just sit there and just receive of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is here, and he's touching people, he's filling people. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Thank you. What can I pray for you? Just put your hands in front of me. Just when you're receiving it. Thank you, Lord. What's your name again? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're touching it right now. Thank you that you're touching it right now. Thank you, Lord, for your gentle touch. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There you are. There you are. Thank you for your presence. Into the darkness you shine. knowing that you are Yahweh. Out of the ashes we rise. More of you.
No one like you.
None like you. More of you than a fear that just can drive away. Right now, your love drive away fear. Fear can just be as spontaneous as she wants to be. Right now, you give her permission, that permission. And Lord, you give her that permission to be as spontaneous as she loves to be. Just energize you. Keep on just holding it back, holding the break back now, Jesus. Your spontaneity over her. The joy of you. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you. That's it. Just stand. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Anytime you want to come to the front, you're more than welcome. Anytime. We're not going to officially close the service. We're waiting as you want to go. You're more than welcome to go. You're more than welcome to sit there and receive more of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are touching people, Lord. That you bring us into the resurrection, into your resurrection life. Into your resurrection life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just your power, your power, your power, your power. Thank you. Very Lord. Thank you. I pray for you now. Touch your hand.